Huh? He just looked like several people that go here, too. Let your light so shine before men. The story is told of a lighthouse keeper who worked on this rocky stretch of coastline, received a new supply of oil once a month to keep the light burning. Well, this particular lighthouse was not so far from the shore, and he had frequent guests. One night, a woman from the village begged some oil to keep her family warm. Another time, a father asked for some oil to use in his lamp. Another needed some to lubricate a wheel. Since all the requests seemed very legitimate, the lighthouse keeper tried to please everyone and granted them all their requests. Well, toward the end of the month, he noticed that the supply of oil was very, very low. Soon it was gone. Beacon light went out. That night, several ships were wrecked. Many lives were lost. When the authorities investigated, the man was very repentant. To his excuses and pleading about what he'd done, their reply was, "You were given the oil for one purpose, and one purpose only, to keep that light burning." Jesus says to us this morning, "You are the light of the world." Jesus has given us his light. Jesus has made us light for only one purpose, to shine for Jesus. And like the lighthouse keeper, we have absolutely no excuse if we don't keep the light burning. We're in a little journey. We're taking a walk through the Gospel of Matthew. As we've gotten through the Beatitudes, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be teaching verse by verse on Sunday night and Wednesday night, not this week because of the harvest tonight. I'll be teaching verse by verse, and then on Sunday morning I will be teaching a topical out of the sections that we are teaching verse by verse on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I think this will kind of get us moving through. We should all be reading the same chapter, and we can move at a different pace, and we can cover some ground and learn together in the Word together. So it'll be verse by verse on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and a topical on Sunday morning out of that section. Point number one, there is a need for light in this world, man. We know that in the beginning, way, way back at the start of time, there was no light. The Bible says there was only darkness. Remember what God did on the first day of creation? Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 4, God said that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Now, God not only made light, but on the fourth day, he also made the producers or the sources of light. Chapter 1, verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. So the question is, why did God make the light? The reason is that light is necessary. Light is even a vital part of God's created order of the physical universe. Any grade school student, in fact, anybody here, in fact, I may just call upon somebody, we can all tell us about photosynthesis, right? You knew it in third grade, man, all right? How green plants take light energy and use it to convert water, carbon dioxide, minerals into oxygen and so forth. Without light, there wouldn't be photosynthesis. And without photosynthesis, there wouldn't be life, at least as we know it today. Lice is not good, okay? And we're not talking about lice. If you've misunderstood what I'm saying today, if you have lice, go away. It must have been a word for somebody here, all right? Light is not only necessary, a necessary part of God's created order for the physical universe, it is also a necessary part of God's created order for the spiritual realm of life. There is a great need for light in the spiritual realm as there is in the physical realm. Without light, physical life is impossible. Similarly, without light, spiritual life is absolutely impossible. And what we have to recognize, guys, is that ours is a sin-darkened world that badly needs light. There are examples all around us. I spent a good part yesterday just watching Fox News and some of the other news, just seeing what's going on as they're trying to do a ceasefire or a pseudo type of peace treaty, you know, in the Middle East, which we all know will not last. As we're watching the news and we're seeing daily the death toll of our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan and all the things that are going on over there. As you've been watching the news, in fact, I was at Ontario Airport the day that they initiated the no liquids and all of that because of the, you know, the foiled plot attempt of destroying many of our flights coming in to the United States from foreign soil, and thank God that that was foiled. But what went on at the airport when I was there with all of the dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, and the police officers and the National Guard, and it was incredible, and we see that. We live in a world that is absolutely out of control, but darkness is not something just overseas or in some city, other city. Without looking too hard, we can see the darkness of sin in our own city as well. So yesterday or the day before, I was watching the news and there was a shooting on our adjacent street over here on Rancho Vista. It's that close to home. There are drive-by shootings in our community. There are bank robberies and thefts and murders all over the place. It's incredible, man. Darkness, darkness, darkness. Darkness everywhere. So many people without the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what happens in the darkness? You stumble around. You can't see where you're going. You're not sure where you are. You walk into a room and you can't find the light switch. And you kind of assume you bump into things. Man, you need the light. That's the condition of this world. It's in darkness. It's stumbling around without hope and without God. And it can be very dangerous to be in darkness. Say you're driving down the highway. Maybe up the mountains or down the highway or something, and all of a sudden you lose your headlights. And there are no lights anywhere. Man, you're in trouble, especially if there are curves in the road or whatever. You can't see. You know, you're going to have a serious accident. The world is also in a very dangerous situation. Being in darkness, it doesn't know it is headed straight for hell. What our sin-darkened world needs is light. And church, we are the light of the world. One day, Jesus pointed to an unexpected group of people. He said to his disciples, these were a collection of simple fishermen, tax collectors and the like. And he said to them, gentlemen, you are the light of the world. Christians, we're the light of the world. In Jesus' day, the great centers of culture in Athens and Rome were seen as the light of the world. Ancient philosophers with their great thinking and reasoning abilities were also acclaimed as the light of the world. Within Israel, the Pharisees and the rabbis were called the lamps of Israel. In the Old Testament scriptures, we hear that God called his people to be a light of the Gentiles. You'll read that in Isaiah chapter 42 and chapter 60. And in our text this morning, Jesus says to his disciples, and the disciples representing the church of all ages, now take Israel's place as the light of the world. And I want you to notice that in our text, Jesus expresses care for everybody. Jesus says the church, God's people, the church, is the light of the world. He says God's people are to give light to everyone in the house. He says their light is to shine before men. The church, in other words, is to give light and be light to all the world of men. Now, these words of Jesus contradict the practice among the Jews. For the Jews in Jesus' day only considered another Jew as a brother. They considered a Gentile as a dog. And then among the Jews, the Pharisees took this idea a step further, and the Pharisees considered only fellow Pharisees to be brothers. The rest were looked down, you know, as part of the multitude, which really didn't know or practice the law. But Jesus, in contrast, expresses here his love and his care for all men. Christians should not only show love for one another, but they must show love for everybody. The church has the responsibility, guys, to be a light, not only for us, but also for everybody outside of these doors, in our neighborhoods, at our jobs, at our schools. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. Do you understand how close we are for the advent of Jesus Christ this time? Do you understand as you read your newspapers? I was up this morning early. I turned on Fox News, and they were interviewing a lady this morning who her company had developed this system that they are now using in a few major airports with selected frequent flyers. And what they do is they take a picture and scan the retina or a fingerprint, and then they transfer those into what is called a smart card. And they're taking this smart card, and as they go into the airport, with their smart card, they can just swipe it, and in 4 minutes, they can go through the lines and be on the airplane because they have this smart card thing with the scanning of the retina or the thumbprint. See, we are a very impatient people. We'll buy into that just like that. We're in a hurry no matter whether we have anything to do or not, are we not? You can go to the market and be in a line that says 10 items or less. Person in front of you has 11, and you are ticked off. But you have no place to go even, man. Where are you going? I don't know, but she's got 11, you know. Get out of it. Get it. You know, call the cops. Do something, man. Because we're always in a hurry, man. So when they offer a way that we don't have to stand in line for a couple of hours at the airport, well, you can see what's going to happen there. You can lose the smart card. That's a problem. So we don't need we can do the same thing. We can do the same thing by just putting a little mark thing, you know, under. You won't see it under your skin up here, maybe your ears, or you just walk through and scan. I've already done it to my car. My car's been marked by the beast. I've got fast track. Okay? I'm driving somewhere and I go in the fast track and all of a sudden, beep, beep, they know where I am. They can do the same thing with us. It's incredible. I remember one day I was doing that and was going quite a ways and using that, and it slid off my, because I don't keep it on there, I just keep it in my glove compartment, the little thingy-bob there. And so I picked it up and I was just looking at it, and all of a sudden I went through a thing and it didn't beep. And it wasn't 3 or 4 days later, I had a bill in the mail for going through because my marked car wasn't marked, and they billed me $60 or something for going through without the little device. And they can do the same to you and to me. But you know what? The Bible says when they start doing that with people, we're not going to be here. Do you see how soon it is before we get out of here? I don't know about you, but even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, I mean, I am so tired of listening to the news and watching what's going on and realize this thing is getting bad. Our own neighborhood stores are being robbed. I mean, just constantly, man. Carjacking in parking lots down the street. It's incredible. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. These are all signs of his soon return. What are we supposed to be doing in the meantime? You're the light of the world. This means it's the function of us to shine for Jesus, so that the darkness is chased away. The church must allow herself to be used of the Lord to lead the world from darkness to light. Robert Louis Stevenson, best known for his adventure story, most of us read it when we were in school, Treasure Island, was a young man when he was a child. He was in very poor health, had a full-time nurse most of the time as he was growing up. One night his nurse found him with his nose pressed against the frosty pane of the bedroom window. And the nurse yelled, "Child, come away from there. You'll catch your death of cold." But Robert didn't budge. He just stood there with his nose pressed against this window pane. He was mesmerized. He sat watching an old lamplighter slowly working his way through the black of the night, lighting each street lamp along his route. That's the way they used to have to do it. Pointing, Robert exclaimed to his nurse, "See, look there. There's a man poking holes in the darkness." I love that, man. Poking holes in the darkness. What a marvelous picture of our task as the light of the world. It is our job to poke holes in the spiritual darkness of our sin-filled world. You are the light of the world. This means the church has the answers for the world's problems. This means that we have the answers for the solution to the chaos, hurt, misery that surrounds us. You are the light of the world. It isn't easy what Jesus is asking us to do this morning. We might even be tempted to think it's impossible to be the light of the sin-darkened world. We are so few, and the unbelieving are so many. Non-Christians outnumber Christians by, I don't know what the statistics are, but a great deal. So how can our little light possibly have any effect on our sin-darkened world? And you see it. Turn on the TV. Pick up a newspaper. Pick up a magazine. And it's just darkness. It's all talking about, you know, perverted things over and over. We're being inundated to accept this and to accept that. And this is no longer any problem. And on and on and on. Well, Jesus gives us a couple of examples that tells us not to lose hope. For instance, Matthew 13:33 says, "A little tiny bit of yeast can make all the dough rise." Matthew 5:14, we talked about it our last time together. "A little bit of salt can season a whole pot of meat." And the Lord says in what we're reading today, "A city on a hill cannot be hidden." As you all know, even the smallest of lights chases the darkness away. I read that if you were in a complete darkened area where there were no lights and you were outside and there was no restrictions, there were no buildings or trees or anything, just, you know, dark for many, many miles, that if you light a match, the flicker of that match can be seen from 20 miles away. Now that's incredible. Do you understand that light is the power, the energy, the source? Darkness is not. Darkness is not the source. Darkness is simply the absence of the energy. Darkness is the absence of light. You never walk into a room and say, flip the switch and turn the darkness off. Do you? You know, don't turn darkness off. You turn light on. Lucy Swindoll encourages us, Chuck Swindoll's wife, with this example, and I quote, "Listen, a friend of mine was caught in an elevator during a power failure. At first, there was momentary panic as all seven strangers talked at once. Then my friend all of a sudden remembered the tiny flashlight he had in his pocket on his keyring. When he turned it on, the fear dissipated. During the 45 minutes they were stuck together, they told jokes, they laughed, and they even sang songs together. We don't even have to be big to be effective. We just have to be on." Isn't that great? We just have to be on. The light just has to be there. We may be a minority. We may seem small and insignificant, yet we can and should have a powerful influence on our world. This is, of course, only because of God's grace and strength at work within our lives. For on our own, we are nothing and we can do nothing. Thirdly, I want you to see, I just want to say to us, man, don't hide your light, man. You're the light of the world. I hope you realize that this means shining lights. Jesus uses the picture of an oil lamp which stood on the table or on a stand. Today we'd use probably the image of a street lamp, street light. The Christian and the church should shine like a street light, so that those who come by can walk by its light. He goes on, he says, do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel? Of course not. The purpose of a lamp is to shine. A lamp under a bushel is hidden, its light is wasted. The Gospel of Mark says that the lamp should not be put under the bed. The Gospel of Luke speaks of putting the lamp in a cellar or a closet or off in a corner. Again, the result is the same. The lamp is not giving light to the people of the house. You are the light of the world. Think about this. If the light doesn't shine, it's not because of the darkness. Are you with me? Darkness cannot put out a light. Even if the darkness increases until it is pitch black, it is still not dark enough to put out a light. No one has yet smothered a light by increasing the darkness. Rather, darkness gets darker. You ready for this? Only because the light fails. Darkness gets darker only because we put our lamp under a bushel or in a closet or in the basement. Our lamp is not shining before men if we keep ourselves isolated and hidden away from the world. Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, is something that was meant to be seen. Christianity is not just a name. It's a verb. It's an action. Okay? It was to be seen what we do. Christianity is what we do. It's who we are because of Him in us. As someone has well said, and I quote, there can be no such thing, ready for this, as secret discipleship. For either the secrecy destroys the discipleship or the discipleship destroys the secrecy. Did you get that? That is so important. A man's Christianity should be perfectly visible to everybody. You are the light of the world. Think of whether you're a lamp on a stand or under a bushel. You are the light of the world. I hope you realize this means we need to be different than the darkness. Light, you see, does its work only because it's different than darkness. Light does nothing in a place that is bright and sunny. Okay? Light has an effect. It makes a difference only in the darkness. Are you following me? You go out on a bright sunny day in the middle of the day here when it's 100 and, what does it reach here? 101, 102? That's for the taping of this, see, so they would come out and visit us. Okay. So, okay, 201, 202, whatever it is. But in the middle of the, you know, you could take your flashlight and turn it and you're not going to see anything. It's not going to do anything, right? You can't even see, you know, that your cell phone. You look at that thing, you can't tell what it is because, you know, the light isn't doing anything in the light. We need to function as light. We are the light of the world. The point is this, our light has gone out if we think and we act and talk just like the world. Our light has gone out if we're not separate and different from the world. Our light has gone out if we conform to the pattern of this world. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed into the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if we're not having an effect around us, it's because we have become conformed to the world instead of transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, we need to live and function as light. We need to be sure we properly understand this. Jesus is not saying we are the light source. Jesus is not saying we are the sun or the stars or the lamp. I say this because it is Jesus who is the source. The sun and the light. Listen to these words of Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know what we are, guys? We are simply light reflectors. We reflect His light in the same way as a jewel or prism reflects the light of the sun. So what we must do is we must let the light of Jesus shine in us and through us. A young boy went with his parents on vacation to Europe one summer. Part of their tour was visiting the great old cathedrals of the past. As he would visit each cathedral after cathedral after cathedral, he saw these huge, massive, stained glass portraits of the disciples and of other saints. He was so impressed as he stood in these great empty halls looking through the beautiful stained glass windows. Upon returning home, he told his Sunday school teacher about the great churches of Europe and the glass portraits of the saints. His teacher looked at him and says, "Okay, son, what is a saint?" As his mind went back to those massive, beautiful stained glass windows, he said, "A saint is a man a light shines through." Guys, that's also the definition of a Christian. A Christian is someone the light of Jesus shines through. How is it that we are to reflect the light of Jesus? How are we to shine for him? How does his light shine through us? Tony Campolo, in his book, and I love the title of this book. The book's good too, but the title is great, man, okay? Hot Potatoes Christians Are Afraid to Touch. Don't you just love that title, man? It's a great book. You can pick it up. Hot Potatoes Christians Are Afraid to Touch. He tells us one way we are light reflectors. And I quote, On a number of occasions, I have taken an informal survey to see how people have come to know Jesus. I ask how many became Christians as a result of listening to some Christian radio show. Seldom does a hand go up. When I ask how many were saved through a Christian television show, the response is not much better. Out of a crowd of several thousand people, usually just a few hands go up when I ask how many have become Christians because of a sermon they heard. Usually only 2 or 3% of the crowd responds. But when I ask how many have become Christians because some person loved them and shared the gospel with them, the response is always overwhelming. There is never any doubt after such surveys that the best and most powerful means of evangelism is not television at all, but ordinary people who love their friends and relatives enough to tell them about Jesus Christ. See, it's not enough to give prayer and financial support to our missionaries, and we're praying for our missionaries right now, okay? But that's not enough, man. We must be involved in missions ourselves. I don't mean we all have to go knocking on doors or fly to Uganda, man. But what we need to do is tell the people we have daily contact with about Jesus. It makes little sense to do missions overseas if we don't do missions in our own homes or in our own places of work and our own backyards. I want to lay a challenge before you as we close, okay? As a family or household, you guys need to get together as a family and think of someone you know who's not a Christian. Might be somebody in your own home. Maybe it's someone you work with. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody you go to school with. Maybe it's somebody you have daily contact with. Pick an unbeliever, and as a family or a household, love them with the claims of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, we will watch his kingdom grow this next year like we've never seen it grow before. In our text this morning, Jesus combines the light that must be shown with good works that must be done. This is the third way we can reflect the light of Jesus. Unbelievers are always impressed when we reach out with loving deeds. A lot of you have done that. When you go to someone who is hurting or sick or sorrowing and you reach out to them and embrace them, and they see this and want to be part of God's family. I want you to notice, last verse there, what happens when we reflect the light of Christ. Men praise, it says, men praise your Father in heaven. In a sin-darkened world, we are called to be light so all men may join us in the praise and the worship of this one and only true God. So as we are the light of the world, It's not so people, they won't, it's not for them to praise us or the church you go to or anything else. It's we are to live to the praise of his glory. And as they see our good works and as they see the light of God in us, they will praise the Father. Guys, I think we've been ripped off. I think we have gotten so concerned about ourselves, so concerned about our kingdoms and what we can accomplish, that many of us have lost sight of the reason that why we're here. And we are here to be a light to the world of the reality of Jesus Christ, man. I want you to stand with me. Father, I would ask that you would help us to understand what you have for us. That Jesus, we would know what it means to be the light of the world. Lord, we want to confess to you that we've just allowed so many things to get in our way. So much stuff. We're so busy. We have so many projects. We have so much unfinished business. So many goals. And Lord, many of us have forgotten what it means to be the light of the world. Lord, we just want to reflect your light again. We want to be the people when we walk into a dark place, your light shines. Where we work, Lord, forgive us for some just blending in now. We're no longer lighting that darkness. And Lord, you know that I'm not saying we're all supposed to wear signs and harass people, but by our very lives, we would display the light. Jesus, forgive us for being more concerned about us. And above all, Lord, forgive us for being too self-centered. We're more concerned about what people think about us than their eternity. We're more concerned about what that worker thinks about us than whether they end up eternally separated from you or not in hell. Forgive us, Lord, for our stupidity and self-centeredness and selfishness. Help us to love those around us enough that we would put our reputations on the line for their eternity. Lord, that's true love instead of self-centeredness. Help us, God, to be the lights of this world and what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing a song that I think all of you know, but when our worship team got through with it, it may not sound like anything you've ever heard before. Join in and see what you can do with this, okay?